Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Working the scene from Big 12 Media Days is Matthew Postens with us on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We cover the Big 12, of course, at heartlandcollegesports.com. You are reading all of his content this week live from Frisco, Texas, joining us on the show. If you're just with us and you're a Big 12 or a college football fan, make sure you're subscribed because the season is right around the corner. Thank you to those of you on YouTube and on the podcast dropping that five-star rating and review. And always appreciate our radio affiliates. Well, Matthew, the first year in like 3-4 years, we have some normalcy in the Big 12. We're not talking about new teams or realignment. We're just talking football. So how refreshing was that to start off Big 12 Media Days?
It was pretty refreshing, actually. You know, the two biggest storylines of the day really were, you know, Texas Tech. I've never seen this much media clustered around Texas Tech before in all the years I've covered this conference. And obviously the cloud hanging over BYU, that is Jake Retzlaff, their quarterback, who is on the roster but not here, who everyone expects to transfer but isn't on the portal yet. And no one seems to really know what's going to happen with their quarterback position, except that all the players are like, well, we got to move on and play. So let's move on and play.
Now, the one team that you left out there I was surprised by is Arizona State. They're the reigning Big 12 champs. They may have the most likely Heisman contender in quarterback Sam Leavitt. So what was the mood and the theme around Arizona State if you're saying they weren't in the top two storylines on Tuesday?
Well, I think with Kenny Dillingham, I think he was, you know, appreciative, obviously, of the season they just had, but he was already ready to move on. I mean, he's already talking about this year. He didn't seem to be in a particularly, I don't want to say not a celebratory mood, but he's moved on. And I think he's moved on because he knows he has a team that potentially could be better next year. You got a lot of the great quotes from Kenny that you usually get about NIL, about the portal, about players wanting to be here. There was a good cluster of media around them for obvious reasons, but it just, you know, I think because he's kind of moved on from the championship last year and he's a little less reflective about it. And there are all these expectations around Texas Tech and all the controversy around Baylor. Arizona State kind of took a backseat to that today.
Okay, so what about Texas Tech then? Let's talk about the Red Raiders, Joey McGuire, handling that pressure. I mean, if they don't win a Big 12 championship with the talent, with the portal additions, there will be disappointment in Lubbock. I think that's fair. How does Joey McGuire seem to be handling that?
Yeah, I think Joey McGuire totally understands that. He talked about that on stage. He talked about it during the media session here a little bit ago. He understands all the expectations. And he said he got a text from a South Lake Carroll coach that he used to deal with back when he was in high school coaching at Cedar Hill. And, you know, the text was basically, hey, you can take this one of two ways. This is either pressure or this is opportunity. So I think he understands that, you know, there's an opportunity here for Texas Tech to do something they haven't done in 31 years, and that's win a conference championship. They won a share of the conference championship in 94 in the Southwest Conference. They haven't won an outright championship since the 50s. So in talking to him and Baron Morton and the other players, they all look at this as opportunity. They don't look at it as pressure. In fact, Baron Morton said very matter-of-factly, we're going to win the Big 12.
There was no
hyperbole around it. There was no Joe Namath prediction around it. It was just, we're going to win the Big 12. And I think it's because these guys feel as if they're confident enough that they have the talent on the roster to do it, that they have the right coaching staff, but they also know they have to go out on the field, win 10 games, get in the championship game, win the conference, and get in the playoff. They understand the expectations. I don't think anybody's fazed by it.
That's impressive that they've accepted and they've embraced that. So, Matthew, you mentioned, of course, BYU, the quarterback situation. Kalani Sitake, how is he handling that for a guy who thought he'd have a veteran quarterback back from a year where they tied for first place in the Big 12 in the regular season?
he's proven himself to be a very good tap dancer today, as he's talked about this throughout the day. So here's the situation. The sexual assault lawsuit that was brought against Jake Retzlaff has now been dropped. So there's no more legalities that he's dealing with. But he admitted to the honor code violation. And that honor code violation comes with a 7-game suspension. So while he is widely expected by everybody to transfer, he's still on BYU's roster. So every time he got asked about Retzlaff, Satake just basically said, I'm going to let Jake address that. Or, you know, I can't really talk about that. The honor code is the honor code, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really one of those kind of gray areas where I don't think we've seen this before, where we have a quarterback who's sitting on a roster in mid-July in college football, and you don't know what he's going to do. There's no portal for him to go into yet, because the next portal is for designated student athletes. That's coming up in the next, I think, week. That's the portal for those student athletes that had their scholarships dropped due to the House settlement. So I suppose he could lump himself into that if he wanted to transfer out. But who has the room for him in mid-July? It's a really odd situation. And the way Satake is handling it right now is basically just to say, I think you're going to have to talk to Jake about that, because I don't think he even knows what Jake Retzlaff is going to do at this point.
Wow. Fascinating. All right. Iowa State was there. Matt Campbell made some noise when he said that his top 20 players took a pay cut basically to stay at Iowa State. Well, I mean, listen, they got, of course, they had a great season last year. They got to a Big 12 championship game, came up short. It looked like there was some social media blowback against Campbell. I mean, that feels like a total stretch, but what was your read on that comment?
He gave that comment, I think it was to Pete Thamel at ESPN, either Pete Thamel or Ross Dellinger, one or the other. It happened in the morning before we actually started getting into the formal press conferences. So I took from that comment to be, he had 20 players who were likely offered more money in NIL than they were getting at Iowa State before they thought about getting in the portal, and they all said no. That's how I took that. Because okay. we all know how this works, you know. Guys get offers from other schools before they're even in the portal. So I took it to be these guys were offered more money and they decided to stay. Not that we said, I'm making $300,000 NIL. I'll take $250,000 NIL to make us better. I don't think that was the conversation. So, Matt Campbell was Matt Campbell. He's consistent. He's Mr. Steady. Talks about all the right things in media days like this. He had a really good, conversation about, after they went 4-8 a couple years ago, talking to people about, well, how are you going to sustain this culture that you want to build at Iowa State? Instead of, buying into spending a lot of money in the portal or, transferring in a lot of kids, he really wanted to build it, kind of that quote unquote Dabo Swinney way, where you build with the kids that you have. And he said, well, I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out. And he seems to have figured it out. It's a blend of player development, identifying the right guys early on. NIL is obviously a factor in that. But if you look at the guys that he brought to Media Day, those are all guys that have been here 2, 3, 4 years. Rocco Becht bought in early. I'm sure he's had offers to go to other places. And he stayed at Iowa State. And I think a lot of it has to do with what Matt Campbell has built there. They win consistently. They have consistently good teams. They're always competitive. They have a consistent staff. I mean, he doesn't turn over a lot of people on his coaching staff either. So I think the consistency that he's built at Iowa State is part of what attracts recruits there and part of what keeps them there. And that was a common theme throughout the day with him, Kenny Dillingham, Joey McGuire, Chris Kleeman, player retention. These coaches want to recruit the right guys, coming out of high school. They do want to retain them. They really don't want to have to go to the portal unless they have to.
Well, I think that these guys are proving, especially Kleiman and Campbell, that if you recruit the right guys, you develop them, they will stay. Many will stay with you for less than market value, which I think is kind of the strategy for these guys going forward. So maybe the coach on the hottest seat in the Big 12 is Scott Satterfield, Cincinnati. How much was that a theme today, and how did he embrace that if it was part of the conversation?
I don't know if it was that much of a theme today. That question didn't come up during the main gaggle, and I wasn't able to get over to talk to him during the breakouts. But, I think in talking to folks that I know who know, that they feel like he is on the hot seat this year. They feel like he's a guy that you know, if they don't go to a bowl game this year at minimum, there's a good chance he could be out, you know, as of next year. If you think about what he inherited 2 years before he got there, they got to the college football playoff. They had a good year the following year. Luke Fickell left. He came in. They haven't been to a bowl game since then. They just got that brand new facility on campus. Not as big as Texas Tech's, but still brand new. Shows their commitment to football. When you get stuff like that, you got to show you can win football games more consistently. That's what Scott Satterfield hasn't been able to show yet. He's got some really interesting pieces. I like their quarterback, Brendan Sorsby. I like Dante Corleone, obviously. But they're going to have to win more consistently this year. The Nebraska game, I think, is a real tone setter for them. They got the Cornhuskers in Kansas City in the opener. It's a great opportunity for them to beat a team at a Power 4 level, which they haven't really proven they can do that outside of the Big 12 yet. That could be a real tone setter for their entire season.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
I'm with you. That's a big game for Scott Satterfield, who had a good start last year, and then they just fell off the face of the earth.
They did. They lost six of their last seven, I think, something like that.
Yeah, it was bad. Now, a team that had the totally reverse season was Baylor. They started off really poorly. It looked like Dave Aranda might lose his job, and they closed really strong. I think they won six of seven to close the season last year. Mm-hmm. To me, they're a team that is not getting enough attention going into this fall. Dave Aranda's not going to give you that blowtorch quote that some of the coaches might give you. It's always a quiet confidence, but what was the theme for Baylor?
Dave Aranda, as always, appreciates your question. I think they have expectations around themselves. Maybe we don't as a group in the media or outside analysts have expectations around them, but the theme I got from them in talking to Sawyer Robertson and talking to Aranda is they have expectations around themselves. They feel like this is the best team they've had since the 21 team. And if you think about the 21 team, that team was not highly regarded going into the season. It was not, it didn't have a lot of buzz around it, but they've got, really good pieces on the offensive side of the football. They should be better defensively. I mean, I think Dave Aranda probably walked away from last season pretty unhappy with the way they played on defense, especially since he was calling the plays. So they went into the portal, got some help on the defensive side of the football. I think they feel like they're going to be better there. They're one of those two or three teams that I feel like are kind of stealthy candidates to get to Arlington. Them, TCU. I feel like there's one other team in that category that I can't think of off the top of my head. I feel like those two teams are really stealthy teams that can get in. And I think throughout the day, Dave Aranda made the case that, they don't really care about the expectations that they're hearing from outside. They care about the expectations internally to their program, and they feel like they have the goods to be a contender in this conference.
Yeah, as they should. There's no doubt about it. Now, speaking of contenders, Kansas State was also there. Chris Klieman, Avery Johnson, of course, maybe a rising star and face of the Big 12 after his first year starting last year. What is Kansas State's expectations when it comes to this season after last year, maybe not meeting some people's expectations in year one with Avery Johnson as the starter?
Yeah, I think they fully expect to be a contender too. Avery Johnson came nattily attired, lavender three-piece suit, said a lot of really good things about the receiver room. I think he feels really good about the talent they brought in through the portal at key areas. He felt really good about the offensive line, but he said he spent a lot of the offseason reflecting on how he can get better as a passer. He knows his completion percentage has to get better. He knows he has to get better at reading defenses, especially when it comes to making quick decisions on quick routes, in the slot and things like that. He was very reflective about what he learned last year, and I think it's all going to make him a better quarterback going into this season. In talking to Chris Klieman, he talked a lot about, the guys that have been there a long time. He's got a guy on his team that was a part of his original recruiting class, and he's been there 7 years. But he's one of those guys like Campbell who is able to retain players over multiple years, build them up into NFL-level players thereby helping their team be consistently good every year. He raised the concern about not just, you know, going to Ireland for the game, but the post Dublin experience. He's already starting to lay the groundwork with this team. Like, hey, you know, this isn't the Rate Bowl, as he said. This is a regular season game, and then we get on a plane the next day, and we come back, and we got 3 weeks of games after that. So he's already setting the tone early on that, you know, while Ireland's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them, they can't be in a situation where they go 2-2 to start the season. That's going to put them behind the eight ball right away.
Yeah, that's a great point. Did I also see he was a fan of a 16-team playoff, Chris Kleiman? Did I see that right?
He mentioned that he would like to see the college football playoff land on a 16-team playoff. And, oh, no buys. He doesn't want buys. So basically, let's do it like the NCAA tournament, 1-16, 8-9, et cetera. He seems to want to land there. He knows that that adds more games to the season, and he's conscious of that, you know, grind on players, 12 regular season games, a conference title game, potentially four, you know, playoff games if you go all the way. But I think he said he felt that's about as fair a system as you could ask for when you consider there's 130-something FBS teams, 10 conferences, a couple of independents. He seemed to think that was the most fair way to go.
All right. That's very interesting. Matthew Postens is here on the show. So let's talk about Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner. He obviously addressed the media to kick off media days this week in Frisco, Texas. Well, I know the big thing, the playoff came up, and he's still a fan of the 5 AQ automatic qualifier plus 11 at-larges. Yeah. How much did he expand on that, and what was his why behind it?
He feels as if that is the fairest format for the Big 12, the fairest format for all the conferences. He also feels like that's the format that's going to allow teams to win it on the field. You know, you hear the Big Ten still wants that 4 AQ format for them and the SEC, 2 for the Big 12 and the ACC, and then whatever else, what other scraps fall on the floor for everybody else. Yormark and Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioners, they don't think that's fair. They feel like that's obviously tilted toward the SEC and the Big Ten, and rightfully so. Yormark seems to feel like a system where those four power conferences get an automatic berth, plus the next best conference champion gets a berth, and then the next 11 teams, he feels like that's the most fair format. I think he feels like it will allow the Big 12 to get multiple teams in the playoff every year, you know, even without two AQs. And I just feel like this is sort of this, to me, I got the sense it was kind of a line in the sand moment for him. Like, this is a hill that he's willing to die on. He's not willing to allow the SEC and the Big Ten to get four automatic bids in the playoffs. There have been times where Yormark has bent, I feel like, in deference to making sure that his conference is included with a seat at the table. I kind of got the sense today, with the way that he said what he said, that this is a line in the sand moment, and he really feels like this is something that the Big 12 and the ACC need to push for. I think the SEC is kind of open to the idea. I think it's now incumbent upon them to sell the Big Ten on the idea.
Okay. That's an interesting play now going forward, because basically the SEC and the Big Ten, as I understand it, will have full autonomy to make that call starting in 26, right?
Well, that's interesting because, first they told us there wasn't going to be a gaggle after Yormark spoke, and then there was a gaggle after Yormark spoke. But I want to say Pete Thamel, no, it was Ross Dellinger earlier today. He had a note from Yormark, and I'm sorry we're doing this on the fly, but live podcasting, that's how it works sometimes. Brett Yormark, in a small group of reporters after his address, reemphasized that the memorandum of understanding signed by CFP leaders last year does not necessarily grant sole and exclusive power to the Big Ten and the SEC over future format. So what we've been led to believe over the past several months that ultimately the Big Ten and the SEC could just decide unilaterally what to do, apparently is not the case per Yormark.
Okay. That's a big development. What else from Yormark? I know he had a big deal with the PayPal guy. They got a partnership there. Yeah. Was there another big takeaway or two with Yormark addressing the media today?
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot. This is one of those, I'll say a couple things. One, I feel like we're going to hear a lot about partnerships from a revenue standpoint over the next couple of months. He mentioned there's going to be an announcement with WWE tomorrow. He mentioned that they're working on a couple, three more sponsorships coming up down the line. You know, this, I think this falls in line of them trying to create more revenue for the conference. He did mention, you know, obviously the game in Ireland this year, next year, Baylor women's basketball opening up in Paris. He hopes to have a Big 12 baseball game in Mexico City. He really seems to be going back on that international bent that he was on a couple of years ago. He really wants to take the Big 12 brand globally. And, you know, I asked him personally about Big 12 basketball and the NCAA tournament. I asked him, you know, we have an expansion vote coming up in a week or two for the tournament, you know, if we're, you know, as to whether we go to 72 or 78. And I asked him point blank, you know, why do you, because he's been in favor of expanding the tournament, you know, why do you want it if every fan tells you we really don't want it? And you really boil it down to two things. One, access is important to him, which he has said previously for the Big 12. He wants to make sure he has as many Big 12 teams in the tournament as possible. And two, obviously it drives more revenue, more NCAA tournament units for the Big 12 if you get more teams in and you get more teams further. One nuance he did add was he said, look, a lot of this comes down to what CBS and Turner can do in terms of money, because if you add more games, the NCAA is going to ask for more money. And he said, ultimately, if the money doesn't work to add more teams to the tournament, then it won't happen. So a lot of this, you know, obviously a lot of this is about the money, but, you know, he did not give me a confidence one way or the other as to where things are going to go. I honestly think the tournament's going to get expanded. I think that would be a mistake, but, you know, I think he feels at this point everybody's had their say, and now it's time for the NCAA to decide what to do.
Yeah, I'm with you. Great job there. Matthew Postens is in Frisco, Texas. Big 12 Media Days. Day one is in the books. We will do it again for day two. Matthew, great job. We're reading at heartlandcollegesports.com, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We're heartlandcollegesports.com. Make sure you are subscribed right now to the channel, YouTube, the podcast as well. We appreciate those 5-star ratings and reviews. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A lot more coming your way from Big 12 Media Days this week, and it's all at heartlandcollegesports.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.